This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
A bad guy pretends to be you for various nefarious reasons. But identity theft can be a time-consuming pain for the crooks. They have to stalk you or hack you or trick you, to say nothing of the fact that we are getting more adept at spotting the frauds when they show up in our inboxes or online. So the crooks are also adapting. Why steal somebody's identity when you can just create your own?
You make up a fake person, trick the credit bureaus and financial institutions into believing that this fake person is real. And then use that fake person to steal money from financial institutions.
You're walking down the street. It's a great day, and you're enjoying every moment of it. The problem is, someone wants you to disappear. Now, they could go the Smith & Wesson route, but instead they just steal your identity. I have no doubt that over the years you've heard a lot about identity theft, but things have changed. Scammers can now create synthetic identities of you, and unless you stumble across it, they may be pretending to be you for years. I'm Jim Grinstead, and today I'm going to update you on what's new in traditional identity theft, but I'll focus on a relatively new form, synthetic identities. You'll learn how they're created and why you should watch out for them. And don't worry, I'll tell you how to do that as well. Traditional identity theft happens when someone gathers enough information about you that they can apply for credit cards, take out an auto loan, and maybe access your bank account. If that happens, it can take years to untangle.
At least 17 different people have my ID.
17?
At least. There's a guy in California right now that is using it at a bar.
People earning money using Tony's identity, but not paying enough taxes. The IRS seizing his bank accounts and dumping him with huge bills.
This one's for $9,000. Here's one for $25,000. That was $16,000. Here's one for $11,000. Actually, almost $12,000. And they want all this money right away.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah, he still owes taxes on the money other people earned. But I'll get to that in a bit. That's from Arizona's ABC 15. The man's problems began when he lost his wallet with his Social Security card inside. All that trouble just from a Social Security card? You bet.
457-55-5462. That is my real Social Security number.
If you've ever worried about identity theft, it's time you got to know LifeLock.
I'm Todd Davis, and I'm here to prove just how safe your identity can be with LifeLock. That's my real Social Security number.
If anything happens for any reason while you're a client of LifeLock, we will cover all losses and all expenses up to $1 million.
How'd that work out for him? Not well. The Phoenix New Times says his identity was stolen 13 times. The first incident happened when someone tried to take out a $500 loan. In the other breaches, a Verizon account had an unpaid bill of at least $186. CenterPoint Energy showed a delinquency of $122. Credit One Bank was owed $573. And the gift basket company Swiss Colony was owed $312. LifeLock has since been purchased by Symantec, which sells Norton computer security products. LifeLock had other problems before the purchase, but I won't go into those now. These problems, I'm a summer guy. I'll be on the porch, enjoying a cool drink and reading. Doesn't get any better, unless someone else does the cooking. I'm not going to spend a day in fresh air only to eat processed foods. If I'm not eating fresh, I'm wasting one of the best seasons of the year. Fortunately, Factor comes to my rescue. They send fresh meals to me that can be cooked up in minutes. I can go back to the porch with a great meal and enjoy the sunset. I'm not into programmed diets. I like the chef's choice meals, but if I wanted keto, protein, vegan, or anything else, they can provide it. Premium meals could include steak, shrimp, broccolini, or asparagus. The meals come prepped and are customizable. You can get add-ons for breakfast, lunch, or snacks. And when I head out on vacation, Factor will pause my service until I get back. Plus, I love to grill, so I can choose one of Factor's meals during the week and fire up the charcoal on weekends. Be good to yourself. Enjoy the warm weather, great foods from Factor, along with some money-saving discounts I'm about to tell you about. Head to factormeals.com/scamsandcons50 and use code scamsandcons50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code scamsandcons50 at factormeals.com/scamsandcons50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Happened in the aughts, using old school techniques like dumpster diving for credit card applications or just stealing mail from your front porch. These days, there's no need to get your hands dirty unless you're eating a candy bar while working on your computer's keyboard. You can get catfished by fake claims that your computer has been hacked, that a friend or relative is stranded and needs money to get home, or convince someone in another country that you're deeply in love with them but need some cash to help out a sick family member. The relatively new way to steal you is to create a synthetic identity. It's a bit complicated, but I'll step you through it. Then we'll hear from people who want to teach others how to do it and how to acquire the information needed to make it happen. I do not recommend that you take notes on this. It's illegal and can get you into big time trouble. Plus, unless you're working with somebody who really knows how to make it work, the feds will be at your door fairly quickly. However done right, scammers hit thousands of people at a time. First, a scammer needs some authentic personal information from you. A social security number is great, but credit card information, bank account information, and similar data can be used. The rest of the stuff, like name, address, telephone numbers, can just be made up. You can use real information, but making it up is just fine. Next, you need a credit history for this synthetic person. Since you've just created them, there isn't a history, so let's make one, shall we? The first step is to take out some small loans and pay them back. Open a bank account. If you can, get a credit card from some place who doesn't need to do a credit check. You need to establish a presence in the banking system. After doing this for some time, you'll look like a creditworthy citizen. Armed with that creditworthiness, you begin maxing out credit cards, getting loans or whatever else you can do to milk that identity for all it's worth. A new car would be nice. Use it to drive away from that synthetic identity and leave the person whose details you stole and all the people who gave out loans to sort it out. As you rightly suspect, it's not quite that easy. One of the things you'll need for your synthetic identity is a CPN. The credit reporting company, Experian, says that a CPN is a 9-digit number that's formatted just like a social security number. It may also be called a credit privacy number, credit profile number, or credit protection number. Companies that sell CPNs to consumers market them as a way to hide bad credit histories or bankruptcy. Experian should talk, but we'll get to its dirty laundry in a bit. Here's a guy to explain part of it, and he constantly reminds us that his video is for informational purposes only. I've slowed his speech because he talks fast. I mean, really fast.
Things have changed a little bit, guys, but the fundamental thing that has changed with the process of CPNs is the fact that you guys can't cut corners as much as you guys usually do. A lot of people were cutting corners with CPNs, creating them really quickly, and then using them to liquidate really fast, and that's still a thing. People can still do that, but the thing is, it's not as easy as it used to be to do that process. Once again, guys, this is educational purposes only, so let's get into the video. So creating a number, so creating a CPN number, when someone wants to create their CP number, they often visit a website like, you should steer clear of that number. So basically, if it says it's verified, then that means somebody is using that number. So you don't want to use a number that is already being used, because that means even if they let you create that number, eventually down the line, you will run into the issue of the profiles merging, and then that creates an issue with the profile, because obviously that's someone's actual SSN number, and it can create an issue for you and make the whole profile just basically hot. So we don't want to do that. So once again, this is educational purposes only, guys. I'm just letting you guys know how this all works. But if your number appears random or shows as unissued on the this number can be good for 7 to 10 years. So it's essential to make plans with that time frame in mind. Additionally, there are certain number sequences that you can use in specific situations that are unlikely to be used by others. You can check these numbers through and we'll provide the number sequence using this method.
Yeah, you heard right. They don't necessarily need any of your personal information to create a fake person. But it helps. If they don't, they have to play a long game rather than a smash-and-grab theft.
Before creating a CP, there are some things to keep in mind. Never use an address that you've used before or had mail come to. Never give your CP to law enforcement if you get pulled over. That should be obvious, but some people just don't use common sense, so I have to say that. Info to be prepared. So this is information you should have prepared already. This is the tri-merging preparation. Things you need to be prepared. A new email address. Email shouldn't be attached to any of your current social security number information. Try to use a different company for your normal go-to. So if you use Google, use Yahoo. If you use Yahoo, use Outlook, etc. New phone line, preferably AT&T prepaid or Verizon prepaid. You can get these things from like Target or Walmart. You can get the SIM kit and create that. However, it's important to recognize that the more time and effort you invest in building your profile, the stronger it will become, leading to a greater satisfaction with your future results. When it comes to a CP, timely debt repayment is crucial for profile growth. Basic tri-merging info. So what is tri-merging? Steps taken to establish a number or social in the public record or the credit bureaus. So we'll end with the credit bureaus to be precise. Employment for applications. This is basically information that you're going to put into your application. So it's going to be management, consulting, engineer, income between 60 and 85K per year. This information is part of the application process when tri-merging your number. So this information is going to basically tie all the information together to create an actual credit profile for the profile. So tri-merge housing for applications, choose rent or own, and cost is usually around $1,100 per month. Some people like to put $0 per month and say they own just to make applications look better. But for this specific reason, we're tri-merging. So we're not really trying to make our income look a certain way. We're just trying to tri-merge the information together. So you will have lived there at least 5 years. All this information will need to be recorded. These are examples only, not advising you to commit fraud in any way. Obviously, guys, this is educational purposes only. So let's go on. So get ready to tri-merge. So tri-merging fuses your profile information that should be in your notes to the credit bureau's information. This process requires you to apply to 3 websites with this information.
Jim, you may ask, what is this tri-merging you just talked about? I'm glad you asked.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There are 3 major credit reporting bureaus: Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Once you have consistent credit information in all 3, that's called a tri-merge, and people who issue credit can find you easily and prove that you're trustworthy. If you've done a good job of building a credit history, you can create more credit history.
And then I suggest you guys go to some more pre-credit cards or, you know, self-lenders, things like that to add. You want to start adding as many trade lines as you can, but authorized user trade lines are a little bit easier, but they're costly unless you got a friend or family.
That's another gentleman interested in helping you get started, and he'll coach you and even gather information for you, for a price, of course. In fact, you may end up being a good credit reference for him. It gets more complicated still, but I'm going to stop here because you should have a basic idea of how it works. With just some of the information or a meaningless number that looks like a social security number, it's possible to create a fake person. If they use your data, you'll be on the hook for the cost. In one worst-case scenario, a scammer could take out a reverse mortgage on your house and draw down your equity. You can protect yourself from some of this. I keep a waste box into which I throw all offers for credit cards. Every few months, I go to an office supply store and have it shredded. It never goes out with the regular trash. But I'm still only protecting myself from the amateurs. The PBS NewsHour tells us how the big guys get their data.
Major breaches in recent years at places like Target, Home Depot, and JP Morgan have exposed tens of millions of individuals' information. But Equifax's announcement yesterday might be the biggest and most significant yet. One out of every two Americans stands to be a victim. Some 143 million consumers' sensitive data is potentially compromised by a security breach at the Consumer Credit Reporting Agency.
Oh boy, this is the dirty laundry I told you about. It happened in 2017.
And what kind of data are we talking about here?
It's everything that would be in your credit report. So it's social security number, it's your name, it's your address, it's your driver's license information, it's your employers, it's your payment history, it's what bank accounts you have. It is, if you were an identity thief, a gold mine or the holy grail, as one person described it to me. The thing that a thief could do with this information is that, one, they could hack into your existing accounts once they have all that information.
At least Equifax was right on top of it and let people know about the breach immediately. Right?
They found out about this on July 29th, and we only found out about this breach this week. So you're supposed to, in these kinds of cases, immediately jump to do something about it. And they seemed like they did not give consumers much time. There was a long period of time where this information might have been out there. And secondly, several executives at the company, after they found out about the breach, sold about $1.8 million worth of stock in their company before this news got out. The implication being they didn't want their stock to tank and their stock to lose value. And sure enough, today their stock value dropped about 13%. So as one person said to me today, this quote unquote stinks to high heaven.
It's also worth keeping in mind that we aren't the customers of these companies. They get their data from banks, employers, credit card companies, all kinds of folks who handle our personal information and need access to other people's personal information. As they say, if you're not the customer, you're the product. Let me make this just a little bit worse. Scammers, of course, want money, but they sometimes want other things. Your identity might be used to get prescriptions, medical supplies, or even surgeries. In Australia, researcher Chris Rock dug up some interesting details. Here's AI voice Teresa reading from an article released by Kaspersky, a data security firm.
Chris Rock started his research after an incident when one of Australia's hospitals mistakenly killed off 200 patients. The idea was that if something in an electronic system occurs via accident or mistake, that you can do the same manually. An official indication of a person's death is called a death certificate. In many countries, an application for this paper can be filed online. For instance, in the USA, they use a web service called Electronic Death Registration System, EDRS. To create this paper, you need to log in to the EDRS as a doctor. To register on this service, you need to enter some information to verify that you are a doctor, including your name, license number, and the address printed on your license. There is another option via an online service, at least in California, where you can find all of this information. Simply put, you can log into ESDR as a California doctor at any moment with no problems at all.
Or you could start from the other end.
The inverse process, creating a birth, is very similar. It's actually easier to give virtual birth than to make someone virtually dead. Firstly, you don't need a funeral director. Secondly, instead of a doctor, you can log in as a midwife. Of course, all necessary information about midwives can be found on a website. There are plenty of reasons why someone would kill or give birth to another person. Fraud, revenge, or just making their lives miserable. Perhaps a more interesting and less obvious scenario is the creation of a completely virtual and, at the same time, a completely legitimate person, which you could dispose of at any time later.
And we're back to synthetic scammers. How do you protect yourself? It's not easy. The first step is to not leave personal information out where others can capture it. All they need is to take a quick photo with the cell phone, and they can review that later. If someone wants your Social Security number, ask them why. Hearing it's our policy or I just need it for the computer isn't good enough. It could be they want to sell your data to someone else who uses your Social Security number to match up with other pieces of information they have. And perhaps most importantly, be vigilant and a little paranoid. If you get a call from someone saying they're with your bank, be suspicious. Make them verify their identity. If you think it might be legitimate, take their name and ask what branch they're in. Then look up the number yourself and ask to speak to the person. If no one knows them, just save yourself a lot of heartache. I've skimmed the surface of what can happen to you if your identity is stolen or manufactured. Scammers are smart, and as soon as rules or technology changes, they'll find a way to exploit them. I'll keep you up to date, and one of the best ways to stay informed is through our website, scamsandcons.com, where I regularly post on our blog about new scams. If you enjoy the show, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen. You hear this all the time on other podcasts because it helps people find us and become subscribers. Your ratings really do make a difference. And don't forget to head over to our website, scamsandcons.com, where you can chat with other fans and get more stories about scams, many of which are going on right now. I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thanks for listening.
Scams and Cons is part of the Killer Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Sean McCabe.
And I'm Carrie McCabe.
We are, well, married, obviously, but we're also obsessed with the darker side of things.
True crime stories, alien abductions, poltergeists. If it leaves you scratching your head and keeping those lights on at night, we want to hear about it.
That's why we host the podcast, Ain't It Scary, with Sean and Carrie.
Every week, we bring our listeners a true story guaranteed to send chills down your spine, from history's most brutal serial killers to the mystery of spontaneous human combustion.
Yep, lots of these stories leave unanswered questions behind, and you'll get to poke through the rubble of the evidence with a hardened skeptic and
someone whose mind is more open to fun.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
You can find Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie wherever you get your podcasts, and on social media at Ain't It Scary. Come play with us.